Good morning and amen. Thank you for participating in the singing. We do apologize for the apologize again for the heating and air in the sanctuary. We will make sure that we get that fixed. How many know what today is? What's today? New Year's Eve. How many know what tomorrow is? January 1st, New Year's Day. So tomorrow is also the start of our month-long focus on wisdom. So we've challenged the church the elders and I have prayed and thought about how we can challenge the church to start the new year off reading scripture. So what we've asked everyone to do, if you want to participate, and we would love for you to participate, we think it'll be beneficial for you and for us as well, is to take a chapter of Proverbs every day in the month of January. So that's 31 days, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. So starting tomorrow, you start with chapter 1. So I'm not handing out a little check it off box or anything that you normally see, because you don't need that. Whatever day it is, read that chapter in Proverbs. Now, I will ask that as you're reading through, if there's something that you see in the scripture or that God lays on your heart, that you would jot that down, keep it in your Bible, reflect on that point, because we are starting the year praying for wisdom. So that starts tomorrow. We've already announced our Wednesday night workshop for our members downstairs, so 6:30 p.m. Even if it's not your normal cadence to be with us on Wednesday night, we would love for you to come down, give us your feedback, see what's in store for the coming year as we seek to glorify God. And then starting next Sunday, we're going to start a sermon series called Thrive, and it's going to be in the book of Nehemiah. So we're going to go through the entire book of Nehemiah. I'm thinking probably a chapter a week, but we'll see how that goes. So start being in prayer for that. One other prayer request that I forgot to mention when Brian was praying is pray for Chad and his family. Chad lost an uncle this weekend sometime, and so be much in prayer for his family. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for spending the last day of 2023 with us. Yes. Yeah, and Bill Galloway just had some shoulder surgery as well, so remember him in prayer as well. But thank you so much for joining us. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the back of the pew. You can use that. We'd love for you to study the Bible with us and follow along. The verses will also be on your screen. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Few people. A few people want to admit it. Now, normally New Year's resolutions are self-centered, would you say? Right? I'm going to lose weight this year, or I'm going to exercise every day, or I'm not going to have that second cookie. I'm going to have the second cookie. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, what we want to look at today as we end 2023 and kind of close the book on that chapter of life is how we should actually be resolved and how we should have a resolved. And that's the title of the sermon. This is a standalone sermon. It's not a part of any series. So turn to Acts chapter 20, Acts 20. We're going to look at one verse this morning and think about how we can apply that verse to our lives, Acts 20. Before we dive into God's word, let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you this morning, we just ask and pray that you will give us grace. You will give us just your mercy and be with us, move in this time. We pray for Bill, as he is recovering from his shoulder surgery that he had, and I know there's more to come for him, and we just pray that you give grace and mercy in his life for that. May his doctors have wisdom and have the right knowledge to help him to heal up and to join back with us quickly. We pray for Chad and his family and the loss of his uncle. Give them comfort and grace. We pray for this service this morning, dear Lord. Help us to see what your word says and help us to look to you as we look to have a resolve in 2024, as we come to the conclusion of 2023, and we look forward to what's in store for us. We pray that much like the Apostle Paul did in this passage, that we will have a resolve that is based in you and not self-centered. We just thank you and praise you for the ability to be here today. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 23, our verse this morning. I'm going to do something dangerous. I am preaching a message on a single verse, and we haven't really set up the context, but I will. And so I want you to make sure that what I say is what's in the scripture, so follow along with me. I ask you to do that. But verse 24 of Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Scripture says, "But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course, the ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of God's grace." So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And like I said, this is kind of dangerous for a preacher to do, is to take one verse and preach on it, especially if you don't know the context of the verse. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the background, but we haven't been going through a series. We haven't been building up to this, so I want to make sure that I don't do the traditional Philippians 4:13 thing and praise God for a touchdown, right? That's not what we're doing. We're not going to take a verse out of context. So the context of this verse is Paul is heading back to Jerusalem. He's being compelled, and he's heading back to Jerusalem where he knows that he's going to suffer. And so he calls the Ephesian elders in together, and he's giving basically the last address to them. You know, they've come together, and he tells them that he's being compelled by the Spirit in verse 22, and that he is going to go to Jerusalem, and ultimately, you know, he wants to get to Rome, and he will get to Rome, and he'll be in prison in Rome. And so he knows that there are hard times coming for him, but he addresses this group of people that he loves and says, you know, in the middle of this address, he gives this verse, verse 24, that we're going to look at this morning, and he says, "This is my resolve. This is what I'm wanting to do. Regardless of what happens to me, this is how I move forward." So applying that to our lives this morning, I would like to challenge us to have the same resolve that Paul did in when he was addressing the Ephesian elders. And this was a time of struggle for him. If you read this passage further, they're hugging his neck. They're all crying. They know they'll never see him again. This is a tear-jerking moment, and it's a turn of the chapter in Paul's ministry. But he stays steadfast and resolved. So the points this morning are basically going to be the phrases of this verse. So the first point is, "But I consider my life of no value to myself." But I consider my life of no value to myself. Now, when we think of New Year's resolutions, like I said, they tend to be self-centered. And I will be completely honest, there is nothing wrong if you resolve to quit smoking. There's nothing wrong if you resolve to lose weight. There's nothing wrong if you resolve to not have that second piece of cake. Those are all good things physically. But I want to challenge us this morning as a church body, to think about a different take on our resolutions. Instead of resolving to be looking at ourselves, Paul says, "I consider my life of no value to myself." Well, what does that mean? Well, basically, Paul is saying that instead of resolving to lose weight, first he's going to resolve to look up and to look out. To look up and then to look out. What do I mean by that? Well, in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, they asked Jesus, they said, "Teacher, what command," or "which command is the greatest? You know, which in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. So look up." 39, "The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Look out. Look up, look out. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. So when Paul says that he considers his life of no value to himself, what he is saying is, first and foremost, he is going to worship God. He serves and worships God. He is going to look up. He's going to strive to love the Lord, his God, our God, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. But the another way that Paul says he is going to value his life of no consequence is he's going to serve others. He's going to look out and serve others. So considering our life of no value to ourselves, we want to worship God first and serve others second. Now, how do we do that? Ultimately, we have to die to self. Romans 6, verse 6 tells us, "For I know that our old self is crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin may be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin." In order for us to look up and look out, we have to die to self. Consider our life of no value in and of ourselves. Scripture talks about this, and here we are dying to our old self. We are not succumbing to the sin that so easily besets us. We want to focus on Christ. We want to focus on what God has done on the cross for us. Our life is of no value in that regard. We have to die to self. 2 Corinthians verse 5, 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." So in order to fulfill this command of having our life of no value to ourselves, we have to look up, we have to look out, we have to die to self and understand that we're a new creation. The old has passed away. 2023 is gone. We are new in Christ. Next, we have to, if we see our life of no value to ourselves, we have to take up our cross. Luke 9:23 says that Jesus told them, he says, "If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So a way to disregard your life or consider your life of no value to yourself is to die to Christ, carry your cross daily. In other words, those sinful desires that you have, those ambitions that you have that will bring in pride, those ambitions that you have that may bring in lust or jealousy or idleness or fornication or drunkenness or whatever your besetting sin may be, you have to nail that to the cross daily. It's daily sanctification. So dying to self and taking up your cross is important if you're going to value your life for Christ and not for yourself. But there's another aspect to this. Not only do you nail your sins to the cross, you nail your past to the cross. To value your life for Christ and not for yourself means you forget the past in a way that the sins and things that you've done in the past do not define you when you're new in Christ. Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of being complete," Paul saying being completely sanctified, "but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue my goal, the prize promised by Jesus' high calling, or heavenly calling in Christ Jesus." So you can't change your past. God doesn't even change your past. Think about that just for a second. You can't change your past. God doesn't even change your past. It's always focused on future, what God has in store for your future moving forward. Not to say that we don't remember the lessons learned, not to say that we don't remember the experiences we've had, but the guilt, the sin, we have to let all those things go. So in order to not have value to your life per se, as far as living for yourself and living for others or for God, we have to forget the past. But as I said before, not only do you forget your past, you also have to be willing to suffer. Because just as Paul explained to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he's going to Jerusalem, and God has already told him, you're going to go to Jerusalem and you're going to suffer. So when Paul makes this statement, I don't have any value in my life in and of itself, I'm going to suffer for Christ, I think he kind of has James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 in mind. Consider it all joy or great joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So Paul sees this adventure, where he will suffer, as furtherance of his sanctification, furtherance of his growing closer to the Lord that he serves and the Lord that he loves, the Lord that saved him out of being a legalistic, pharisaical murderer to someone living for Christ. Look up first. Look out. Die to self. Take up your cross. Forget your past and be willing to suffer for Christ. So if you're going to make a resolution, that's the way you should make it. But don't make a resolution just don't make a resolution just for making a resolution's sake. Look at the second part of Acts 24. It says, my purpose is to finish my course. So we've talked about here in the past, when we were preaching through the book of Hebrews 2 years ago, and we got to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are also surrounded by such a large cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every hindrance and every sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies not behind us, but before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that laid before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're on this course, and we see that there are others who are on the course with us. We glance at those people. We're surrounded by faithful witnesses. Paul is a faithful witness. You have been surrounded by faithful witnesses in your own life of people who have run the course of faith. You glance at those people. They're in the hall of faith. There are people who are mentors. There are people who are there for your edification and for my edification. You glance at them, but our gaze is fixed on Christ. Our eyes are fixated on the fact that we can't save ourselves, that Jesus came and he lived a life we couldn't live, was falsely accused, murdered, took God's punishment on the cross, sealed our salvation when he cried out, "It is finished." You gaze at Christ. Glance at all the other faithful men and women in your life, but you keep your gaze on Christ. You're running this race. You have to keep your eyes forward. And Paul uses this terminology of finishing his course in other places in Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So our purpose, our resolve, is to not value our life in and of itself. Our life is in Christ. We are to die to self, take up our cross daily, and follow him, forgetting those things which are behind. So forgetting the past, be willing to suffer for him, and then we are to run our race. So we resolve to not value our own ambitions and our own life. We are to run our race. And then thirdly, look at the third part of verse 24. It says, the ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus. So Paul knew, the Apostle Paul knew that he had a ministry that God had given him. I have a ministry. It's pretty much summed up in 2 Timothy verse or chapter 4, verse 2, when Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. That is first and foremost my ministry that I have here. We all have ministries, however, because in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Christ himself gives us that ministry that we must fulfill. It's the Great Commission. Verse 18, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we all have a ministry of making disciples. So we've talked about this in the past as well, but just a refresher, the Great Commission, the verb is not go. The verb is actually make disciples as you are going. So when you're in your home, when you're in the market, when you're at school, when you're at work, when you go on vacation, when you're meeting people on the street, when you're picking up the hitchhiker, right? When you're talking to people, as you are going, we are sharing the gospel in and of itself. That is the ministry of every single Christian that has ever been called into salvation. But we have other ministries that are outlined in Scripture. There are 50-something one another passages in the New Testament. Most of them are on the positive side, right? Love one another, bear one another's burdens, be hospitable to one another, lift one another up in prayer. Those are all ministries in and of themselves. That your spiritual gift and your gifting and the moment that you live in may call for you to be hospitable to a person that you normally wouldn't be hospitable to. Invite someone into your home. Invite someone into your life. Share with them. Mentor them. Love them, hug them, bear their burdens. So we all have these one another ministries. But a ministry that I think we forget is the fact that God sanctifies us through his word. And we are, if you read Scripture, if you especially in Peter and John and Paul, they all talk about growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a ministry too. So we are to grow in grace and knowledge. So we're resolved not to value our lives for anything, to forget the past, to strive and look forward and to fulfill our course, to fulfill our ministry. We're also to love one another and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then lastly, the last part of verse 24 says to testify of the gospel of God's grace. So Paul knew that as he was leaving and going to Jerusalem and he was addressing the church elders of Ephesus, he was saying that I must testify of the gospel of God's grace. And we are called to do the exact same thing. So if we are not valuing our life, if we're willing to suffer, if we're willing to take on the fact that we need to forget our past and the guilt that is associated with our past, just like Paul's past had him being a murderer of Christians, forgetting the shame of that and saying, I've learned from that. God used that to get me to this point, to get me to today, to get me to the end of 2023, that I may finish what God has called me to do. And if you're on this earth today, if you're here and you're still breathing, your ministry is and your calling is the exact same thing. So not trying to take this verse out of context per se, but we are to testify of the gospel of God's grace to everyone, to the neighborhoods and the nations, to the ones who are in the neighborhood right across the street from this location, and to those around the world. That is our ministry, to testify of God's grace. Now, what does that mean? It means that we have to call people to repent. It means that we have to tell them that they are sinners, and their only hope is to believe in Jesus for salvation. It's repent and believe and do all of this in calling on Jesus' name. Mark 1, verse 15 is Jesus' example of this, where he goes and he says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Believe the good news." Repent and believe the good news. So if you're here this morning, or if you're listening to this sermon after today and you need to hear anything, hear this. Repent. Believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like I said already, Jesus lived a life we couldn't live, died the death to take God's wrath on himself that we cannot even take on. We cannot even pay that debt if we lived an eternity in hell. Christ took all of that punishment on himself on the cross, said it is finished. God accepted his sacrifice because Jesus rose on the third day. Hallelujah. And so our resolve as we move forward as a church body, and our challenge to us as a church and as individual Christians, is to live out Acts 20, 24 in the year 2024. Kind of a coincidence, don't you think, that God put this on our hearts to preach this morning for the year 2024 when it's Acts 2024, let me read it again. It says, "But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace." In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. If there's anything you need to deal with, if you need to come and lay your past at the altar, metaphorically speaking, if you need to come and talk to me about anything you're dealing with in your life, the altar's open here for prayer as well. We'll have an invitation. After the invitation, we are going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and I will discuss that in just a moment. So let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the gift of God's grace in Christ. And we just ask you to challenge our hearts now that we see our life of no value in and of itself. It's only what we do for eternity that matters. And dear Lord, as a church body, I want us to focus on the fact that we have a course, we have a mission, we have something that God has called us to do as individual Christians and as a collective group of believers who have covenanted together. And we just ask that you lead us in that. And dear Lord, I pray that these words, this verse, and what you've given us through your Holy Spirit will convict us now, but convict us and speak to us on Tuesday morning, or maybe Thursday night when we're struggling. May your Holy Spirit bring your word back to our hearts and minds as we go through our week, and help us to be encouraged that even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of anything that we're going through, just like the Apostle Paul's example, our calling, our resolve should be that our life is of no value in and of itself, that we are called to this ministry, and that we must fulfill our purpose that you have for us in our lives. We thank you, and I thank you personally for everyone who's here this morning. I pray your special blessing on them. May this be a time of reflection, and may you bless the invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.